So there's two ends of the road. There's the end of the road that lands in hell, and there's the end of the road of the path of sin that Christ can break. And that's what he does. Washed, whiter than snow.
Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon, back in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. The end of the road. Now, there are two ends. The question is, which end will we find ourselves on at the end of all things? As we begin our time together today, we are reminded again of the Apostle Paul's concern over sin and how it spirals downward always. With that warning, here's Pastor Chris on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
Idolatry and sexual immorality go hand in hand. Colossians will say this, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, very word used in Romans 1, passion, evil desire, covetousness, and he lumps it all together and says, which is idolatry. So God's response to the idolatry described in these previous verses and following is that he gives them over to sexual immorality and the lust of their hearts. In other words, it begins to swell up within them. Now, doesn't this just make sense that he would address this? Think about it. Isn't this just the great problem that has led to the whole downfall of our own society? You know, Paul's looking into Rome. Rome was a mess with this kind of stuff. The Roman Empire was full of all kinds of sexual deviance and perversion. You know, everyone knows about the Roman baths to this day. It was total perversity. And here he's raising this issue. Now, let me just preface this before we go forward with this. I know pastorally you have to say today that there are many brothers struggling against sin. We can't be ignorant against that, sexual sin. It's a real problem today. And if you have given in to those temptations, most likely you have at times, you've given into it. And if you are a true believer tonight, you are really troubled about it. You're grieved over that. You hate that. You don't want to do that. And so the Christian today is in a fight against this kind of stuff. He's in a fight to put off the deeds of the body. This is what Romans is telling us. The scriptures are always telling us, especially to the young men, put off this stuff. Don't do this stuff. Romans 1 is not talking about the sensitive Christian in his struggle. Really important. The New Testament is constantly instructing Christians in how to deal with this struggle. There is a crucial difference between struggling against the sin and fighting against it and repenting and looking to the Lord for grace and living in it and practicing it. Crucial. Absolutely crucial. In fact, in verse 32, that's what he says, that they're practicing these things. They're living in these things. And the shocking thing about it is they don't care. They don't care. They don't care at all. So that's important to say pastorally. What we're looking at here are people down the path, hardened in it, who don't care, and their conscience has become seared. You know, this is exactly what the Lord criticized Israel for when they went down the path of apostasy. Remember what was happening in Israel? Israel was saying, and the Lord addressed it through Isaiah in chapter 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. There's no distinction anymore. They've completely obliterated the distinctions, and they've come to the point of a totally seared conscience where years ago they may have confessed it was wrong. Now they don't care. They're going forward in it, and they have completely obliterated what Paul's going to talk about, the works of the law written on the heart. We'll come to that. This is our concern in our culture today. we live in a culture today that tells us that casual pleasure in terms of fornication is the ideal. And we are told to let people live a little. We are told to let people go ahead and do it. We give away contraceptives and birth controls in colleges like candy. It's awful. It's a sexual revolution we're in. And fornication and adultery and pornography are all the things that come with it. And it are steeped in a culture today that has headlong fallen into it. And Paul is saying to us tonight, you know what that is? It's a revelation of God's wrath. It's a revelation of God's wrath. Now, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, I talk about progression here. You ever thought how the line of morality just keeps going farther and farther and farther and farther back? You know, years ago, what was the line of morality? You ask the older brothers and sisters here, what was the line of morality? Well, it would have been, right, if you got pregnant out of wedlock, that would have been a line that society did not accept. Okay? What was it a few years later? Adultery. You know, how many marriages are ending with that today? And now, who would have ever thought that our society would come to the point of saying homosexuality is okay? And we're legalizing it in how many states around our country? So where is the line today? Farther and farther and farther back. And what do you think's coming? Well, Rome got to the point where it would be the line today where society says you can't do that. Pedophilia. That would probably be our line today, right? Farther, 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 farther. Paul is talking about this progression. I wish we didn't have to preach this stuff. Sad, isn't it? But it's so important to understand. This progression is happening, and he says it, from basic sexual immorality, it's going somewhere. And so in verse 27, he takes us down a notch, a big notch. Notice the chain. For this reason, he gave them up to vile passions, shameful sexual passions. And he now puts it in terms of what is against nature. So likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in lust for one another. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. So it's bad enough that God gives people over to sexual immorality. But now, notice in the progression, he's turning them over to vile passions. It's going further. So the first sins were a set of what's natural. The second giving over section here is that which is against nature. And that's really important tonight. We are dealing here with something further down the line. It's what Scripture calls what we call homosexuality, it's what Scripture calls sodomy. And it came right out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Notice the language. Men inflamed, being on fire for one another, accomplishing that which is shameful. Now, this is, in our day, you know, this is a huge thing to preach against. The Bible, boys and girls, is very clear about this. And you'll have discussions about this, I'm sure, in school. Don't let anyone ever tell you. The Bible, we have to remain strong. The Bible is clear. This is a sin. This is wrong. And Paul is not pulling any punches here as to the heinous nature of the sin. We live in a day where this sin is being treated as normal. And I mentioned the states, but you know, I do believe that we will come to a time, what I'm doing here tonight, will be condemned and have to give an account in this country for that. I believe that. In Canada, they're already facing that kind of threat. Sure, we have, in the church at times, singled this out as the great unpardonable sin. And I have heard angry preaching against this that seems to condemn this and make the feeling that we're righteous. You know, I understand that. I understand that concern. That's a real concern. But you can't miss, even in that, what the Lord is telling us here tonight. The Lord is telling us that this is escalation in sin, and it's not just evidence of His wrath, it's evidence that people are further down the path of that wrath in that kind of sin. And that's why it's serious. It's against nature. I was listening to a radio program not too long ago, and it was a call-in program, and somebody called into this Christian talk show host, and she was very angry about his position on homosexuality. And she challenged him, and he said, "Listen, do I need to talk about what goes on? Do we need to start telling people what they do? It's that perverse." And it really had the weight, saying that this is a very serious sin. And we have been so pressured now today to remain silent about it that we really need to remember Romans 1, that what the Scripture says here is that men are committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the due penalty, the error, the due penalty of that error. You say, how low can this go? It's not it. It's not it. Verse 28 takes us lower. "And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done." That's the end of the road. He lists a whole slew of vices and says they're in it. That's a sad, tragic end. Persistent hatred of God, persistent knowledge, rejecting the knowledge they receive from creation and conscience. They continue to suppress it so that God turns their minds over to it. And you'll notice here this list: unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boasters, and inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Then it says, to capstone it all, they not only do it, but they support everyone else in it. And they say it's okay. There's the path of humanity. That's the path. I know some of you tonight maybe know people or have brothers and sisters maybe in this. Maybe a child. And, you know, how do we approach this tonight? Do we say, well, that's it for them? Is that what the Lord is telling us to do here? Why is the Lord showing us this tonight? You've always got to ask that. I could have spent a lot more time on this. I trust you see how awful this path is. Why is the Lord setting this in front of us tonight in this way? I believe the tendency is, on my part, to give up on people like this. And to say they're so far gone, they're so vile, they're so evil, and we stop praying for them. That's not what Romans 1 is telling us. That's not at all what Romans 1 is telling us. Paul is saying, he's rehearsing all of this. He's saying, yes, it's bad. It's really bad. It's that bad. And God is revealing His wrath. And guess what? That's why we preach the gospel. That's why. There is a power that is still, in 2012, at this late hour, made available to those who repent and believe. Pull them out. It is a power to break sinners, to break that bondage in sinners. And now you understand why Romans 1 again is so wonderful. I'm not ashamed of what we do. I'm not ashamed of preaching the cross. Why? Because God is using that very foolish means to shatter this dominion over people. He's shattering it. You know? People who have walked this path and they've stood and they've looked over the cliff of hell, about ready to pull off and jump in, and they've been pulled out. And so you learn here how serious sin is tonight, and how serious the consequences of sin is. And that's why parents are concerned for young people. That's why parents want to tell young people. They say, listen, don't start down the path. It is. Listen, it's not, you tell your children, don't touch the stove, you'll get burned. You start touching this, you will get burned. Sin is way too powerful for us. It will grab you, it will hold you, and it will take you down. And now you understand, when the Lord is coming constantly and He is saying, repent and believe. Sometimes I think we preach repentance like He's as if it's an angry statement of repent, instead of repent. Turn from this. Do you see where it's going to take you? Don't go there. Come. There's freedom in Christ. Come to me, says Jesus. I'll break that bondage. I leave you with a story tonight. I think it's effective. I want to use it. You've heard it. But you probably haven't heard it in a long time. And it was the account of Ted Bundy. And in 1989, you know what happened to Ted Bundy. Maybe the children don't know about Ted Bundy. But the crowd stood out and they chanted, "Burn, baby, burn," with their signs. Bundy committed some of the worst sins we've ever seen a man commit. In an interview with Dobson, Dobson wanted to try to get in his mind, and so he gave an interview. And Dobson wanted to see what had happened. At 13 years old, he had discovered pornography. He became engulfed in it. The behavior drove him to lure young women into his car and commit crimes I'll never speak of here. He confessed to killing 28 women. 28 women. Dobson says, "It's 2:30 in the afternoon. You're scheduled to be executed tomorrow at 7 a.m. if you don't receive another stay. What's going through your mind? You were raised in what you consider to be a healthy home. You were not physically assaulted, sexually, emotionally abused." Ted said, "Nope." And that's the tragedy of the whole situation. "I grew up in a wonderful home with two dedicated and loving parents. As one of five brothers and sisters, we as children were the focus of my parents' lives. We regularly attended church. We didn't drink, smoke, gamble. There was no physical abuse or fighting in the home." Dobson asked, "What was going on in your mind at that time?" Bundy spoke of his addiction to pornography. He said, "I was a normal person. I had good friends. I led a normal life. Except for this one small, very potent and destructive segment that I kept very secret and close to myself. Like an addiction, you just keep craving something which is harder and gives you a taste of a sense of excitement until you reach the point where it only goes so far, that jumping off point where you begin to think that maybe actually doing it will give you that which is just beyond reading about it and looking at it. Do you remember what pushed you over the edge? It's a difficult thing to describe. The sensation of reaching that point where I knew I couldn't control it anymore. The barriers I had learned as a child were not enough to hold me back from seeking out and harming somebody." See the downward spiral? He's describing it. "There are those loose in their towns and communities like me whose dangerous impulses are being fueled day in and day out by violence in the media in various forms, sexualized violence. Dobson asked, do you deserve the punishment the state is about to inflict upon you?" "I deserve certainly the most extreme punishment society has." Was he passing the buck? Now, I don't know what happened in the last moment. Dobson says that he confessed Christ and asked for forgiveness. Only the Lord knows. But here's the fact. The power of Christ's gospel is powerful enough to forgive him. Amazing thing. This is why we do what we do. And I want you to see how serious. I read that tonight because you got into a mind of a man who described where it can go. And aren't you thankful tonight for the grace of the Lord as He spoke to you this morning as friends? And He says, I won't let you go. No one can pluck you out of my hands. When you come to Him and you trust Him, He gives grace. So there's two ends of the road. There's the end of the road that lands in hell. And there's the end of the road of the path of sin that Christ can break. And that's what He does. Washed, whiter than snow. That's an amazing message of God's grace to us. How wonderful is the love of Christ to deliver us from all of our sins. May we as His people be a people who are repenting and turning to Him daily for grace and longing to see this message of forgiveness go out to the ends of the earth, because this sad world needs that. Amen. O Lord our God, we thank You for Your grace tonight. And we have all flirted with this path. And if You would have turned us over, oh Lord, it would be awful. Where we would go, who we could be the ones that some church is talking about tonight on the news having done these kind of things. We stand in awe of Your grace. And we ask for strength and help for any who might be struggling with these paths of sin, that You would break that bondage and help them. And that You would wash us and cleanse us. And Lord, that this church and all of those who are so touched by this message would be about seeing that it gets out to the ends of the earth. Let us be witnesses of the grace that we've received and how the power and dominion of sin is shattered through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.
And you're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will be back in just a moment with some exciting news about an upcoming conference that we would love for you to be a part of. First, let me leave you with our website and our phone number in case you would like to reach out to us. This is a listener-supported program, and we are greatly encouraged when you come alongside of us financially and prayerfully to ensure that this broadcast continues not only here where you're listening, but elsewhere throughout the country. Our web address is agradio.org. Now, that's a great place to go if you would like links to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts. Also, a marvelous repository of past programs can be found, again, there at agradio.org. Or leave us a question or prayer request at questions@agradio.org. You can also reach us by phone, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Now, there is a banner on our website, agradio.org, and it's all about an upcoming conference in May. And we're really excited to have you be a part of it. Chris, this is going to be an amazing conference, isn't it?
This will be a really enjoyable conference. I don't know if any of the listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Ligonier Ministries. That was where R.C. Sproul was a great influence for years and a teaching place for him. One of their regional conferences they're going to host here in Escondido, and the speakers will be W. Robert Godfrey, Burke Parsons, Derek Thomas, and then I will be able to give a session too. So that'll be on May 13 and 14. So that's coming up. The title is If the Foundations Are Destroyed. And that's kind of based in Psalm 11. The talks here will be a wonderful help to those who come. Derek Thomas will be delivering one titled The Lord is Our Refuge. Dr. Godfrey will be speaking on When the Foundations Are Destroyed, looking at that from Psalm 11. So we want to encourage you, if you'd like to come to the conference, again, that's May 13 and 14, sign up at www.agradio.org. And there is a banner there that's posted on the website, link you right to Ligonier Ministries to sign up for the conference. So do please make use of that on our website at agradio.org.
And again, we look forward to seeing you there. Thank you for spending time with us today. Until next time, may God bless you as you seek His abounding grace. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.